this when you were away. Thank you, John. It's still not talking. Let's pray. Father God, you can make this happen. Just make it happen. Yeah, it's unlocked. I'm going to disconnect and do Debbie's trick of... Oh. Right. So, I didn't really want to do Pentecost. Just didn't feel... as though I should, but just before we went away on holiday, I was talking to God about what should we be praying, teaching this week, because I knew I'd have to take the books with me for the preach in order to do a bit of studying. So. And God just impressed this on me. So, much against my better judgment, I'm preaching on this, talking on this. So, Pentecost. Is it a time for renewing ourselves? Pentecost is a bit like Easter and Christmas, all those milestones in the church calendar. Over the years that we are Christians, we can become over familiar with them and perhaps miss what God is wanting to do today and say today. So I pray that something afresh will come out of this for each and every one of us. So this is where we're going to focus, just on these four verses. And this week's a bit different. Normally, you have pieces of paper and you're interacting in the way and speaking out lots of Bible verses. But we're going to camp around these verses alone, largely, this week. So from the NIV, when the day of Pentecost came, they, all the disciples, were gathered together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So, you haven't got bits of paper, but there will be bits of work. There will be questions for us to reflect on as we go through these slides. And there aren't many slides this week. So, Pentecost. When you hear that word, when you reflect on that word, what thoughts, images come to mind? Many of you have been steeped in a Christian walk for many, many years. So you've been around this term for a long time. When you hear that phrase, what does it mean to you? Sorry.
The Holy Spirit is with us.
Mm-hmm. power. Yeah. Whose power? God's power. An outpouring. And what do we mean by that, Gareth? Because I think we can perhaps understand that, but if we had a first time visitor here and we said the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, what do we mean by that? I'm going to get soaking wet.
The church is born.
Church is born. A restart, yep. Every individual. Anything else? Any other thing that hasn't been said?
It's what the Holy Spirit does through us. So it's for us and empowers us, but then it can spread, like Aaron said, outward to everyone around us to be effective.
Yeah, not to be contained, restrained. Okay. Right, hold on to all those things. Hold on to all those things. Now, probably like me, you grew up having a comic and enjoying the puzzle corner in the comic, and there was always a spot the difference in it. And maybe you can spot the differences. I'm not too bothered. You can let your eyes wander over it. But I do want you to take that concept into the next slide. Of spotting the difference. Because here we've got verse 1. And we've got it in four translations. I know I've said this a few times over the last month or so. It's really useful to read a passage in different translations. You'll get so much more from it. And I invite you to look at just the first phrase. And what differences do you see? Yep. On the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, where on the day of Pentecost was being fully fulfilled? Can you see how it's different translators have taken a different line, if you like. In the New Living Translation, it's fairly bold, a statement. It's just the day of Pentecost. In the NIV, the day of Pentecost came. That day had fully come. And in the Passion, it was being fulfilled. And we get something from each and every one of those. So I put the Passion up there. I'm not saying the Passion translation is more right than any of the others, but it has this word in it, this Greek word, which can be variously translated, and that's why you see that difference. Pentecost came, or it came to be fulfilled, and that's why I just say to you, it's really helpful to read as many of the different translations as you can, because not one translation we'll get it right. Perhaps one of the things we missed when we were discussing, well, what is Pentecost, is the history of Pentecost, because it's there in the Old Testament. It's not just what we see by the hand of Luke in Acts. Way back. So they have many festivals in the Old Testament, and Passover was one of them. But 50 days after Passover, there was this other festival, the Festival of Weeks, or sometimes called the Festival of Harvest, but also called Pentecost, because it was 50 days afterwards. So Pentecost had existed for hundreds of years before what we hear about in Acts. And even in that sort of intertestament time, in that period between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Jewish people, they began to see Moses' receipt of the law, that time that he went up onto Mount Sinai and received the law, they began to see that as linked to Pentecost also, because, well, when Moses received that, there was fire, there was wind. I think it's less clear in the way Luke writes in Acts that he had that episode in mind, but we can see that the themes of this celebration of the harvest, a celebration of God's provision, a celebration of his providence, beginning to play out in what happened in Acts. So I quite like that translation, that it was fulfilled. There was stuff in the past that was Pentecost, but now God was fulfilling by pouring out his Holy Spirit in that place. And they were all gathered in one place. And that when you read the various commentaries on house, different people have a different thought about that. So some view it as being the upper room where Jesus, we've just celebrated communion together, held that Last Supper. Some people view it as an upper room in just a house, and other people view it as being a room in the temple, God's house. I suppose in essence it doesn't matter. They were in a place together. And there was suddenly this violent eruption, this massive sound that filled the whole place. It likened it to a wind. And then these tongues of fire that came to rest on each and every one of them. How many of you have been touched by the Holy Spirit? Yeah. How many of you have experienced that? No. I definitely haven't experienced that. I've not seen tongues of fire. I've not felt as though I was being touched by the heat of flames. I've certainly experienced the sound of wind. I remember once I was on a healing retreat that the church had enabled me to go on. And at the time the fellowship were praying for me here in Martham, I was up north. At the time they were praying for me, I was in the garden of the retreat and had an enormous sense of wind playing around me. The flap in my mind's eye, it was the beating of angel wings. So perhaps not the violent wind, but I've certainly experienced that. But how did you experience the Holy Spirit? How did you know you were being touched by the Holy Spirit? If it wasn't in this way, because all the hands went up. So if it wasn't this, what was it? How did you know it was the Holy Spirit if it wasn't that? Thank you, Janice. Anyone else? It might not have been that violent shove. It might have been something much more subtle. What way did the Holy Spirit manifest himself to you?
For me, it's a wave of heat that's inside me, so I can feel from my head down to my feet, like a wave of heat and tingling. And just a sense of love, really. A really, really powerful sense of love.
So, Janice, if I got it right, described a time, sometime in the past, an incident in the past. You're talking about a sensation that you continue to feel at different times.
Yes, yeah, I have had it several times.
Yeah. Goosebumps.
And I did once in worship when we were in Braintree. In the worship I heard trumpets going
everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. How many have been overcome by the Spirit to the point where you've maybe lost your balance or felt the need to lay down? Yeah.
I remember Gareth and another guy who, what's his name, Julian? Do you remember?
Yeah, I do.
And they suddenly prepare with the first, and Gareth doesn't giggle, does he? And they both of them were absolutely helpless with nothing.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't grief, it was just the like outpouring of what was inside me just coming out, you know, and it was extremely powerful. Because of course that weekend we were talking about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And it was when I was seeking the Holy Spirit for myself because I wanted the experience and asking God for the experience, and Rachel was with me and I prayed for the Holy Spirit to come to her so that she can receive healing. So I knelt in front of her chair and put my hands on her, and so I was like asking the Holy Spirit to come on her, and that's really me. But I do feel like I shared her as well.
Mm.
My first experience of the Holy Spirit that I can remember was when I was born again and experienced such an amazing sense of peace. And I knew that I was right with God. And a lightness, I just felt so light, like I kind of floated out of the church.
So quite a contrast, really. You use the word peace. Maybe when people look to you, they could sense that. I'm not sure many people had a sense of peace around this violent wind and tongues of flame. And I just want to remind us that the Holy Spirit is not just boxed in by these words. He may come on us at any time with tongues of flame and wind, but there are many, many ways in which he interacts with all of us. Yep. It's true. Yeah. So all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's the same word that we looked at earlier on. That's exactly the same Greek word. And then this strange thing happened. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And some of you no doubt speak in tongues, either loudly or quietly, or maybe sing in tongues. But that's not all the Holy Spirit offers us. What other gifts might come by way of the Spirit? What other spiritual gifts?
Healing.
Understanding.
Understanding
of. Sorry? Yeah, healing.
Words of wisdom.
Words of wisdom, right? Good. Prophecy. Yeah, so building on Graham's sense of understanding. Yeah. 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 So some of the fruits of the Spirit as well. Yeah. Miracles, yeah. Yep. So as the Holy Spirit moves in each and every one of us, he can do all of those marvelous things, those wondrous things. Someone mentioned this verse in earlier in Acts, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. The Holy Spirit, he can move in those violent ways as described by Luke, but he can also move in those gentle ways as you know, your sense of warmth, your sense of peace. But even though they are gentle, they are powerful, because, well, he's coming from God. He is God, you know, and God is full of awesome power. And if he's indwelling in us, then we will receive that God-given power. And just like those disciples, we go out in power with that boldness that Graham spoke of, to speak to all and sundry. And we might start with the corners of our village or our neighborhood or our street, but we can spread out and influence others. And it was Jesus who said in that great commission at the end of Matthew, to go out and make disciples of everyone, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't just work on his own. It's one of the first references to the Trinity. He works in concert with the Father and the Son. So I take you back to that Greek word. And this is your last slide. Come and fullness. And as you reflect on your Christian walk, where you are today, do you need to come? And be fulfilled. Filled fully with the Holy Spirit. Are there bits of you that are a bit resistant? To asking the Holy Spirit to come because of what he might do. Am I going to end up laughing and giggling? Am I going to end up on the floor? Am I going to end up being shoved in the back? I can cope with peace and gentle warmth. Is there something that holds us back from asking the Holy Spirit to come? Are there areas where you would just love the Holy Spirit to work? That you've heard of tongues, you've heard people speaking in tongues, singing in tongues, but somehow it doesn't work for you. So I'm going to give us a chance now. We're a slightly lopsided group, so if one or two people would temporarily drift over this side, and then you just form two circles, or it doesn't have to be a circle, it can be an oval, it can be a square, just so that you're facing each other in your group. So this group turn around and face each other, this group turn around and face each other. Now this may last half a second, because if you are all already fulfilled, full up with the Holy Spirit, then this is going to be a bit of a damp squib. But if there is, but if there is still room and still a heart's desire to have more of the Holy Spirit, then I'll end up cutting you short in the end, because we can't go on forever. We've got a barbecue to go to later on. So this is, I'm not going to direct you. This is your show. I'm going to pray before we start. Father God, we invite your Spirit now. First off, Lord, just deal with anything that needs to be dealt with, that is creating a barrier, a sense of resistance to the work of your Spirit. Lord, as we yield ourselves to you, give ourselves over to you, let your Spirit have its way with us, each and every one of us, and with your church, your body as a whole. Lord, fill us with your power. And Lord, help us to deal with it. If your Spirit comes upon us in a way that is overtly powerful, let us not shy away from it, but embrace your power. Have your way with us this morning. Fill us this morning. Come to us, each and every one of us, afresh this morning. Amen. So I invite you to share and ask and to pray for one another. Gareth, will you turn this off, please?